Our first scripture reading comes from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. If you'd like to find it, it's on page 219 in your Pew Bible in the New Testament. So hear these words from Peter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. In your Bible there in the pew in the New Testament on page 102. So hear these words from Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, when you consider those two readings and you think specifically about the reading from 1 Peter, you recognize that it's some amazing description of who we are as Christian people. He talks about a royal priesthood and a chosen race. Well, it turns out that next Sunday is Heritage Sunday, when we will more fully consider who we are as Christians
and who we are as United Methodists. So for day, today at least, I'd like you to concentrate on the mic going in and out. Okay. Well, let me just see if I can. I won't. Anyway, this Sunday, let us concentrate on those words from the Gospel according to John. When you think about what Jesus was saying, it's really important to understand the context. Because if you look at these chapters surrounding what we read today, you recognize that this is all what Jesus was saying to his apostles at the Last Supper. You may have heard there's a recent author, a university professor, who is dying of cancer. And he published a book called My Last Lecture. Has anybody heard of that? Well, this was the last lecture for Jesus Christ. These were the most important things that he wanted to leave with his apostles. And clearly, before he would leave, Jesus was challenging these 12, but he was also trying to offer them encouragement and hope for the time that they would not be with him. Well, as Jesus said these words, the apostles were being true to themselves, and they didn't really understand what he was saying. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, the practical and the theological truth of all of that is that Jesus and God are one. And that to know Jesus is to know God. Well, let me offer you an analogy that occurred to me to think about. When I was a little guy, when I was a kid growing up in Central Ohio, anytime a family would come and meet our family, invariably they would look at me and they would look at my father and they would notice the remarkable resemblance. Well, it's kind of frustrating to me because as the years go by and as I continue to look in the mirror, every year I recognize that that's my father staring back at me. And that's not a bad thing. But I am becoming my father's son. There's no question. Well, as you think about that, when I was a kid, and probably for you as a kid, there is a recognition that when you're born, you are born into the very middle of a family history. Generations have gone innumerable behind you, and it is your job as a kid to try to understand how you fit in amongst all those relatives and relationships, many of which you know nothing about. And so for me, as I grew up, it was an opportunity to understand who my mother was and her background in Germany. And then to understand who my father was and his background in Wales and in New England. And as I was so lucky as a kid, I got to know my grandfather on my dad's side, my grandfather Morris, William Clement. And I recognized as I got to know him that I was learning more about my father. And in so understanding my grandfather and my father, I was therefore understanding a whole lot about my own identity as well. Well, it turns out that as I grew up, I recognized that my father and I shared a lot of the same values. We both highly value education. My dad got a PhD from Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And I didn't go quite that far, but I value education. I realized that my dad and I like a lot of the same things. We both like to be outside, to be hiking or fishing. We like sports. And we really value the close connection we have with our family. Well, as a lot of kids do, and maybe you've had this experience too, as Jane and I began to raise Zach, our son, as we worked hard at being parents, I heard my father's words coming out of my mouth. We also share some of the same mannerisms. We have the same goofy sense of humor. We share some of the same ways we talk, the way we hold our hands. We also have some of the same core values that come into action. My father was a university professor and an industrial engineer. And I was a park ranger and then United Methodist minister. So our career paths weren't that similar, but we became people and men who are somewhat alike. We both really care about the environment. We care about our families. And we hope that when we leave this earth, we will have made a difference. Well, perhaps this is not so very different between what Jesus was trying to convey to the apostles. Now think about this. When you came into the church, many of us grew up in the church. Some people have come in as an adult. When you come into the church, you need to understand your place in that history of relationships, that place in the long line of the universe itself. We need to learn who we are relative to God. If you read Paul in any of the epistles of the New Testament, you hear Paul describing us as children of God. He talks of us as being heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, every Sunday when we say the Lord's Prayer, we talk about our Father. Well, how is it that we get to know our spiritual father? How do we come to know God? Well, one of the things as we start to wrestle with the theological truth, in our theology, we believe that God and Jesus and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit are one God in three persons. Well, if God the Father and God the Son are the same, how then do we get close to God the Father? But we begin to know God by knowing Jesus Christ. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, how do we get to know Jesus Christ? We don't have the luxury that the apostles have. We cannot follow the person of Jesus Christ across the Holy Land. We cannot see him doing miracles and speaking ill of Pharisees and the Roman Empire. But we can read about Jesus in the Bible. We can read those writers who have firsthand accounts of being with Jesus. So we can get to know Jesus through the Holy Bible. Now, if you think about what Jesus was saying as he was preaching, just like any good Jew, Jesus himself was able to quote Scripture like nobody's business. And if you look closely, you recognize that the scripture that Jesus most often quoted was from the prophet Isaiah. That the Isaiah who was prophesying the coming of a Messiah hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And that is part of the heritage, both spiritual and cultural. That was the history that Jesus came into. Well, when you think about all that, and you think about our place in the church, you try to reconcile that to know Jesus is to know God. We need to understand our place within the family of God. But think about it. We share some of the same values as Jesus Christ. We recognize that with the advent of Christ here on the earth, the kingdom of God is at hand. We understand that through repentance, by following Jesus, we can become better than who we are right now. We can push further into the vision of God. We recognize that we become the conduit through which God's love pours out into the world. We recognize that we are the hands and heart and mouthpiece of Jesus the Christ. We also share some of the same mannerisms as Jesus. Just as John the Baptist baptized Jesus on the banks of the Jordan River, we too have been baptized into God's love. We know that we have been forgiven. We have been anointed by God just as Jesus was anointed. Jesus himself told us at the Last Supper that we are to continue the tradition of Holy Communion. And we also recognize that we then follow in the footsteps of the apostles from the Last Supper. We also try to share in the actions of Jesus Christ on this earth. We try to love the lost, the last, and the least. And we try to move ourselves out from the walls of the church into the discomfort of the real world where we can then be disciples of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus did, we try to visit the sick, to provide food for the hungry, to help those who have lost hope in this world. Because we recognize that Jesus had important words to say not only 2,000 years ago, but today as well. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To know Jesus is to know God the Father. I pray that we can love our way through Jesus. Amen.